And then a few weeks ago I brought part one of this message, The Integrity of the Word of God. And a lot of the scriptures I'm going to share today, we actually looked at back then. So what actually I've done is, what I was just doing there, I've put them on a PowerPoint so Sharon can bring them up on the screen for ease of speed and save us just turning them up. But whatever it was, 2-3 weeks ago when I preached, maybe 4 weeks back, we began saying that God's word is trustworthy, it's true, it's eternal, and it must have priority in our lives. And what we actually looked at, if you remember, was the account where Peter, James and John were with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And before then, Jesus was transfigured, his clothes became white. And I believe the Bible says in the Gospel there, one of the Gospels, that it was whiter than any launderer on earth could make them, his clothing, his appearance. Appearing with Jesus were Moses and Elijah. And, you know, Peter in his true style, he sort of uttered those words, you know, shall we not make you booths or little tents, one for each of you, so that you can rest in them. And then the cloud, it says the cloud came down from heaven and covered the mountain, and out of the cloud they heard this voice speaking to them, saying that this is my beloved son. And then we turned over to 2 Peter, and if you just want to turn there now in 2 Peter chapter 1. I just want to read verses 16 to 21. It's quite a, it's only a few verses, but you know, in this passage, Peter recounts that incident on the mountaintop. You know, as he's writing to his readers in the church, you know, he says, we were there. We were eyewitnesses. Let's read what he actually says. He says in verse 16, he says, we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And when we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now what I want us to look at this morning, when we're still in the theme of the integrity of the word, I want us to look at that being led by God's word. Allowing God's word to lead us. You know, God's word is given to us for instruction. It's given to us that we might know the way ahead, that we might grow and there seems to be a lot of emphasis in the church, and in general, I'm talking about the church in general, there seems to be a lot of emphasis on hearing or having revelation, particularly through visions and prophecies and dreams and gifts of the Spirit, and these prophetic words that come. And really where I want to go with this morning is that, I think we said this last time, that we mustn't put our trust in those things. Now, they're good, they have their place, Now God does lead us by visions. He does lead us through the prophetic word. But we must place a lot of honor and a lot of esteem on the word of God, on the written word of God, this book that we have. Now this, somebody once said that this book contains the word of God. Now that's not true at all. This book is the word of God. It doesn't contain it, it is the word of God. You know, we can take every verse that's spoken, you know, to be his word. If you want to put the first one up, Sharon, this is from Psalm 119, verse 160. And here it says that the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. You know, the Bible declares that all of the word of God is truth in its entirety, from Genesis through to Revelation. You know, that's why we can take it. So I say why we should esteem it highly, why we should place a lot of emphasis on the word of God, because every word of God is true. You know, there's one word in that verse I like particularly, and it's the word entirety. You know, the entire word of God is true. Every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. You know, there's another scripture, perhaps Sharon, if you can change it. This is Romans chapter 3, verse 4. I should have kept that yellow, but never mind. It looks better on the screen than it does on the laptop than it does on the screen. Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true and every man a liar, from Romans chapter 3. You know, there the Bible says that God cannot lie. God cannot break his word. You know, every word that God speaks is true. Everything else is insufficient for us to build our lives on. You know, God has given us his word. The next verse from Hebrews tells us that God has given us the promise and the oath. It says that by two immutable things, his promise and his oath are my words, taken from the previous verses in the chapter. These two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to lie. God cannot lie. Actually, in fact, there's a verse in, I believe it's in Numbers, that says, God is not a man that he should lie. You know, God cannot lie. Every word he speaks is true. He will not change one word that he has spoken from his mouth. That's the next one, Sharon, from the Psalm 89. My covenant I will not break nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. My covenant I will not break. He will not change one word. You know, men can offer their thoughts. They can have their opinions. They can give their advice. They can make diagnoses. Governments can legislate. They can pass laws. But it doesn't alter the fact that God's word is true. Doesn't matter how many times people try and dress up what they're saying, and God's word is true. We can take it. You know, it has integrity. We can take it as truth. Yes, God's word is true, but God's word also endures forever. It's eternal. And Psalm 119 again. I just love that psalm. Psalm 119 is a psalm that I put it together in a booklet form once. Just that, those words of that psalm, Psalm 119, and at the top of the thing I put something like the word on the word. You know, what God's word says about itself. And that's the whole psalm, Psalm 119. And the next verse tells us that God's word is eternal. It's forever settled in heaven. So have you gone, you jumped one, did you? You just go back one slide. Just click on. Forever and all your word is settled in heaven. You know, this is what this verse actually means is, whether we believe it or not, However we look at it, you have arguments with people, but it doesn't matter whether they believe in God or not, it doesn't alter the fact that God lives, God is alive, you know, he's real. You know, whether we believe what God says or not, you know, and there's a lot of arguments, doctrinal issues, and people get caught up in arguing this facet of doctrine against something else, say, well, we believe this and they don't believe that, and others, but whatever we believe, it doesn't change the truth that God's word is forever settled. It's established. And as the next verse says, Matthew 5:18, you know, not one jot or tittle will pass from the law until it's fulfilled. You know, not one word will fall that God has spoken. Yeah, the truth is that men change, feelings change, circumstances change, but God's word remains. You know, it's true and it's eternal. Now there's a verse, again we've got this on the screen, Psalm 138, the next verse. You know, God has bound himself to his word. He's bound himself to his covenant. You know, God will not work. And I think this is something that a lot of people struggle with. God will not work outside of what he's already said. You know, this verse here tells us in the Psalms that God has magnified his word above his own name. And I actually like this verse, it's from the Amplified Bible. It says, for you have exalted above all else your name and your word. And you've magnified your word above all your name. I think one reason why people get agitated when they don't see results, they don't see it working the way they want it to work, is maybe because of a lack of understanding. You know, God will not work outside of what he's already said. And if God has said something in his word, perhaps we're asking God to do something. I'm just trying to think of an example. You know, they can spend hours praying, asking God to do something which God has entrusted to us to do. You know, perhaps Jesus has already given instruction. Well, you do it. You know, like he says, he's entrusted to the church the responsibility of going into the world and preaching the gospel. You know, and perhaps we pray, you know, God do this, God do that. You know, God, yes, we should pray for people to be saved, but God has given us, Jesus has entrusted us the responsibility of actually going and telling them. You know, he's not going to tell them. You know, perhaps we pray that sometimes, you know, God, show this one, you know. Well, no, he wants us to show them. He wants us to do the job. He's not going to break his word. He's not going to work outside of what he's already declared and decreed. So we've got to have the understanding that God, yes, God has magnified his word above his own name. So he won't break that word. He won't go outside of that word. He won't go outside of that covenant. You know, one thing you see in the scriptures, and you see it through the Gospels, particularly Jesus, he places a lot of emphasis on hearing from the Father. He said that his own testimony was this. He says, look, he said, I don't do anything of myself. I don't do anything of my own volition. Well, everything I do, I hear from the Father. I do what the Father tells me to do. I say what the Father tells me to say. He doesn't act upon his own. And he put a lot of emphasis on that. And that's why he said that we should be like that. That we should do what the Father says. We should say what the Father says. You know, he lived by it. And we did touch on this last time, that Jesus taught a parable. You know, we know the parable so well. We've learned it in Sunday school. About a wise man. He said the wise man was the one who, having heard what Jesus said, went out and acted upon it, or was a doer of the word. And Jesus likened that person to the wise man that built on a sure foundation. He built on the rock. He built on a solid foundation. And that's what God's word is. God's word is rock solid. It's the sure foundation. You know, we don't build on anything else. We don't build on our feelings. We don't build on our visions. We don't build on our dreams. Even though God may use those, we don't put our trust in them. We don't build upon them. We don't build on prophetic utterances or gifts of the Spirit. All of these things must come in line with the Word of God. And there's three scriptures. You've got all three of them on the screen there, Sharon. The first one is 1 Corinthians 14:29, and it says, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. You know, we've got to judge what the prophets are saying. We've got to judge the gifts of the Spirit. We've got to judge the dreams. We've got to judge the vision. And they've got to fall in line with what God says. The next one. There, another verse from Thessalonians. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. And the last one from John's letter. First letter, chapter 4. We've gone before. That's it. That's it. Now the next one. On there. 1 John 4 verse 1. I'll have to turn it up. Let's... John 4 verse 1 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. You know, test the spirits. You test the prophecies, test the visions. You know, how do we test these words? Well, God's word is the benchmark. God's word is the standard. You know, do they line up with what God says in his word? You know, Peter had to learn this lesson, and we've got this one here in Mark 8, chapter 30, verse 33. You know, Peter was an impetuous man. He often got himself crosswires with Jesus. You know, on one occasion, you know, Jesus told him that he was going to be crucified. And this is what this verse here in Mark 8 says. Jesus began to explain to him that he had to die, the Son of Man had to die, and he was going to be crucified. And Peter came out and said, you know, Jesus, that can't be. You know, never, he says, never. And there in that chapter there, you know, Jesus rebuked him, told him he didn't have a right spirit. You know, his thinking was in line with man and not with God. And that's what he says. He says, you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. You know, he was judging his thoughts, but not according to the word of God. You know, Jesus had spoken it. Jesus said, this is what must happen. But Peter says, no. You know, it didn't fit in with the way he thought and the way he imagined it. And so he spoke out, and Jesus there rebuked him. And Peter had to learn that lesson. And thank God he did, because he writes in his letter, which is where we were looking at, to the church, he says, you know, we were there on the mountaintop. We heard the voice. He saw the visitation of Moses and Elijah. And he says, look, he says, we've seen it, we've heard the voice, we've seen the vision. And as you go through the gospel and through the Bible, you'll see that Peter had many things. You know, he had the dreams. He had the visions. But he says, look, he says, we've got something more sure. We've got this more sure word of prophecy, which is how the King James translates that verse in verse 19, where it says, we have the prophetic word confirmed, the more sure word of prophecy. Seeking God's direction is not about waiting to hear from heaven, the voice from heaven, should I say. It's not about an angel coming to visit and announcing, you know, what we should do. It's not about longing for visions or dreams. It's about getting into the Word of God, because God leads us and directs us by His Word. You know, we were looking at Peter's letter in his first letter, and this is the next verse, Sharon. They seem to be out of order, these things. 1 Peter 2:2 it says here that he writes to the church that they should desire the pure milk of the word, so that we can grow. Desire the pure milk of the word so that we can grow. One Peter 2:2 As newborn babes, he says, desire this milk of the word. You know, desiring the word is not just for babies. Yeah, Peter says, look, he says, as babies. So I want you to have an urgency for the word of God, because it's the word of God you need to grow. You know, babies need milk. It's essential for them. They need the basics. And as newborn in the house of God, you know, they need teaching. They need the basic fundamental teaching, because it causes God. But it establishes them in their walk with God. It establishes them and grounds them in the faith. But as they grow, they don't swap. We're not meant to swap, and we shouldn't do it. With the health authorities tell us it's bad for their growth. You don't swap the milk for a fizzy pop diet. But yet in the church, we have that desire sometimes. We want to do away with the milk, and we want to go to a frothy, fizzy pop sort of diet. But we've got to maintain our intake of the Word of God. You know, the Bible says in other places that we need to develop onto solid food. We need to take strong meat. We need to get all that. We get all that from the Word of God. You know, just like a baby growing up goes through as the milk, then the mother weans it onto solid foods. But even then, when it's on solid foods, it can't take strong meat. You know, it has to develop and grow. But then when you're into adulthood, you know, you can take the strong meat. You can enjoy lighter foods. It's good to have a drink of milk. But you can take it because you've grown. And that's how we need to be with the Word of God. You know, God's Word will feed us. But not only that, it will lead us and direct us in all our ways. And this is what this verse here, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says. It tells us not to lean. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. If you look at the chapters around this, where this verse is spoken in the Proverbs, you'll see it's talking about having a desire for the Word of God, for the statutes of God, for the law of God. It's to do with receiving and keeping the Word of God. In the next chapter, in chapter 4, it says, give attention to these things. Give attention to my words. So we don't lean to our own understanding. We don't lean to our feelings. We don't lean to the dreams, the visions, the prophecies. Because even demonic forces can feed us those things to try and steer us wrong. If we're influenced by our surroundings, by our circumstances, by the way we feel, by the dreams we see, then we can be led astray. But if we honor and treasure and keep the word, it will direct our paths. He shall direct your paths. Another scripture which is probably fairly familiar to us, from Psalm 119, is your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now here the psalmist tells us plainly, God's word is a light that will illumine our pathway. It's like God will take his word like a torch and shine the way ahead for us. He will show us which steps to take. You know, when you probably heard the story, as I've said it many times, about the man going home through the forest in the dark, and you know, he meets a man there, a lumberjack who's cutting down the trees, and you know, it's getting dark, he can't find his way, he doesn't know the way home through the forest, and the man, he takes a piece of the wood and sets fire to it and gives it to him like a torch and says, there, he says, sir, take that. He says, it will see you home. You know, the light shines the way through the darkness. As we've already heard this morning about the light in the tunnel. You know, God's word is the light that illumines the way and shows us which steps to take. You know, just bring this to a conclusion this morning. There's a series of verses in 2 Timothy chapter 3. If they're in the right order on the laptop. Yeah, it says, verses 14 and 15 say this. It says, you must continue in the things which you have learned. Now this is Paul speaking to Timothy. Timothy is a young minister, a trainee minister of the gospel. He's one of Paul's converts. Paul is bringing him on. Paul's imparting into his life and into his ministry. And he's teaching here. And you know, in other scriptures in Timothy, which are often read at ordination services, where people are being ordained, he says, you've got to preach the word. You've got to be in season. You've got to preach the word in season and out of season. Be instant. You know, he's giving him this instruction. But here he says, look, he says, you've got to continue in the things which you've learned. And he learned these things. Yeah, yes, he learned some things from Paul. Timothy did. But Timothy also learned from his mother and from his grandmother. You know, and Paul commends them in one of the earlier chapters of the 1 Timothy. He says, look, he says, I implore. I remember your mother, Lois, I don't know which way around, it's Eunice and Lois. One, he says, you know, they were godly women. You know, they taught you, they brought you up. And he says, here, you've got to continue in the things which you've learned. You know, you started off in the Word of God. You were trained in the Word of God. You were brought up with the Word of God. He says, continue in it. And he says, even from childhood, you've known the Holy Scriptures because of his upbringing, his godly upbringing. He'd been brought up in the Word. And Paul says, look, you've got to continue in it. Let's go to the next one, Sharon. 16. Then he says, look, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Everything, the whole of it. Go back to where we started. You know, the entirety of your Word is truth. The psalmist says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And the next part of that verse goes on, it says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Paul says to Timothy, in his teaching to you, he says, look, he says, continue in the word, continue in the things which you've learned, in the things which you've grown up with, the things that you were taught from childhood. He says, this scripture, it's profitable for instruction, it's profitable for doctrine, for training, it's profitable for correction. It's going to lead you, it's going to guide you, it's going to instruct you, it's going to train you for life and service. You know, we've been examining this, the integrity of the Word of God, being led by God's Word. You know, a vision, we need to say this. I'm not against visions and dreams and those things, but visions, dreams, or any other prophetic word, any other prophetic utterance, should clarify something you already know and believe to be true from God's word. And if they're truly from God, God's word will confirm it, the scripture will confirm it. Now, if you have a dream, you know, 2 years ago, God gave me a vision, and I'm still, even today, not quite sure of the interpretation of it. You know, but I seek God's word. You know, now I know there's nothing in the scriptures which I can, it's apparent to explain this. So, you know, even today I'm still seeking God for the understanding of this vision. Now I've got ideas, and I haven't shared this vision with the church because it was a personal vision. But if you have a dream or a vision or a prophetic word like that, and it doesn't seem to make sense to you, then we should seek God. We should ask Him to reveal the interpretation. We should spend time in His Word. Allow God to minister. Now some of the things that some of the words that have been given to me over the years, you know, is I've come to the Word of God. Now, some people will say, this is a lack of faith, or this is not, you should just take what God said. It's got to be backed up with the Word of God. It's got to have its grounding in Scripture. And that's why I don't always act straight away on when I have prophetic words spoken over me. I had a word spoken over me again around the same sort of time as the vision. An IGO conference, and actually I was hearing what the brother said, I was listening, but it wasn't until about 4 weeks later, and if you was at the meeting the other week, or you in my report, pastoral report, I put in there the verse that God used to confirm what the brother said, because I was seeking God for the way forward. And then the word came from Deuteronomy, where God says that you've dwelt long enough at this mountain, now turn and take your journey. It's time to begin to step into the things that were on my heart at the time. And I started to make a move towards that. I've not moved very far, but and I still believe there's much more to be fulfilled and much more to come. But the point I'm trying to make is that, yes, we heard the prophetic word, but I came to look for the backup in the scripture. I wanted God to confirm, because every dream, every vision, every prophecy, every feeling in that sense that comes from God will be backed up by what God's word says. And that's our benchmark. That's why we can allow God's word to lead us and direct us. Yes, God's word is true. It is eternal. It is trustworthy. It has integrity. And we can use it as the base or the foundation on which to build our lives and anything else the way God leads us. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.